the thumbs start to go. The thumbs start to go at like 2021. That was a fact that blew my mind. Was like talking to a 24-year-old, and he's like, "Yeah, man, like to be
the wear and tear,
wear and tear." And like these guys have insurance. The wild thing is like these guys. We're going on a tangent, but these guys have like insurance on their fingers.
As they should.
No way. Is that true?
Yeah, like if you like a finger or some shit, like it's like all right, like you're getting like a lot of money. That's especially like I'm talking legs. Top guys, right? Like I can't get insurance on my fingers, but like
yeah, I'm not very good.
Nah.
And welcome to How the Fuck Did You Get That Job, show where two not so interesting guys ask interesting people one question, then interrupt them as they try to answer it. Joining us today is Michael Lisi. Michael is a 2013 graduate of Syracuse University. During his time in school, he had internships with Union College Sports Information, NFL Alumni, and ESPN. Upon graduating, he was the director of the National Football League division of JR Sports Enterprises. After growing that company for 3 years, Michael transitioned to become the director of client marketing and business development at one of the nation's largest sports marketing companies, Radigan. Michael, welcome to the show, and how the fuck did you get that job?
Well, first and foremost, quite the intro, and I almost forgot that I did a Union College way back, so appreciate you guys doing the research there.
Looking that up.
Yeah, honestly, and you know, kudos to you guys first and foremost for starting up with a podcast. I know I was mentioning that a lot of guys say they could do this and nobody ever actually takes it upon themselves. So good for you guys. I'm excited to see where you guys head. As far as me, it's similar to a lot of people and a lot of guys who and women who, you know, wanted to kind of make in the sports industry. And growing up, I always, you know, the 9, 10, 11 year old self, right? They're always thinking you're gonna end up playing somewhere. And those days end for 99% of us. And luckily it ended a lot earlier for me than some of the other guys. And I could say, hey, how am I gonna, you know, make my noise in the industry? And I got lucky as a kid too. My high school principal, J.R. Rickert, was an NFL agent. He had some decent names. Hakeem Nicks was one. He worked with DeSean Jackson for a bit. He was a lower level agent, but he made his noise, and you know, his office was decorated with a lot of jerseys and newspapers clippings. And you know, for a kid and super impressionable, 9th, 10th, 11th grade, I was just trying to pick his brain. So I ate lunch in his office a bunch, and was always going back and forth a bit about how he got in the biz. And he got a lot of flack from the community, as you can imagine. We were a pretty good school in our region in New York, and they were saying, hey, how can the principal be out there doing, you know, all this recruiting and stuff like that and also be worried about the kids? But, you know, I always took his lead, and, you know, he set me up and said, hey, if you can make any money for me doing anything marketing, you can keep it. You know, it's a lot of stuff that he doesn't know. And I was a young kid, so he figured I can make some noise. And so, I followed him. And
were you making brand deals in high school?
I was getting a lot of product deals. Yeah, man, I got a whole bunch of cleats sent out to minor league baseball players, and I was getting, you know, bats re-gripped and this and that.
Talking about getting into it young.
I know, and again, I had no idea. I just more so was like telling everybody, hey, you know, I'm working with JR, because everybody knew him from my area. So yeah, I was doing whatever he needed me to do, and we were taking meetings, and it was cool. And, you know, went out to college and I got into Syracuse. I think that was a big part of my the reason I got in. And not saying I wasn't the smartest guy, but I don't know if my grades were some of those Newhouse kids at Syracuse. So
I wasn't a Newhouse kid either. It's okay.
Yeah, so you know how that goes. We were Newhouse light and we were the sports guys, but I know that definitely helped. And when I got there, and David, I'm sure you've had the same orientation with David Falk, who was Michael Jordan's agent and did, you know, the first mega deal, the NBA, and Patrick Ewing, executive producer of Space Jam. Like he was, I think I came in and I was all jacked up, like, yeah, I'm going to do the agency gig and this and that. And then he gets up in front of everybody day one, like I'm probably wearing a Syracuse polo at this point. And he's like, hey, and if everybody, you know, if you're here to become an agent, you should go back to the registrar and, you know, change your major, because that's not what you're here for. So, now, again, if David here says sorry, but I appreciate that from day one, because he gave me kind of the challenge. But I did take that upon myself personally. I was saying, well, I've already done some stuff. And, you know, that's like the biggest dream, you know, stage you're at, right? Like you're a freshman in college. You think the world's at your hands. And to have the guy who made hundreds of million dollars and put out Space Jam and did this and that to tell you don't do this, I kind of took it on myself to be like, you know, sooner or later, I'm hoping to make that happen. So, you know, we went, you know, all those through the curriculum, and a lot of stuff was, or none of it was really, you know, agency focused. I guess we had a few marketing classes, but, you know, when it all was said and done, I was still doing stuff with JR and still trying to stay in tap. But I realized a lot of people who are leaving there, the ticket execs, and they're doing, you know, sponsorship for the Yankees, and, you know, they're doing this and they're working at MSG. And, so, you know, it was a little bit discouraging, and I figured, you know, let's take the path of least resistance or of less resistance, and maybe let's do some of this programming stuff. So, luckily, shout out Syracuse, and they make you do that capstone program where you got to go out there for 600-700 hours and work in the industry. So I took the couch in my sister's apartment in New York City, took an internship with ESPN, and did the Stephen A. Smith show for 6 months, and it was great. It was very eye-opening, and it's something I tell a lot of the kids who come work now, and I say kids loosely, but the interns who work with us now, it's like, it's more important to know what you're not interested in than what you want to do at that age. Like, I was there and I'm trimming audio clips, and I'm not a technical guy when it comes to like computers. So I'm learning this. I'm trying to figure out, you know, Michael Kay's soundbite of the like, see ya. And I'm trying to plug that into like, you know, his podcast. And it wasn't my thing. Stephen A was great. I know he's got a lot of haters, but always treated me very nicely. And, you know, from there I was like, all right, I mean, I can do these events where I'm going to bars and giving a beer away for a right trivia question, or can
How involved
I go?
Was he with the interns? Like, was he like actually interacting with you guys for like day to day?
So yeah, he knew he was the top dog when it came to, it was ESPN New York, right? We're not in Bristol. So I was on West End Avenue at the ABC studios, and you know, he knew he was bigger than Michael Kay and Don LaGreca, a lot of these guys who were very down to earth, but they also had their own following. But you know, he was great, and you know, he did ask for his lunch at a certain time and a certain type of bread toasted at a certain hour and a ginger ale and this and that. And I was more than happy to play my role at that point, because, you know, my pops is a old school Italian guy. You stay in order, everything is order, and you know, you stay down there until you make your next jump up to the next level. So, he was great. But I knew it just wasn't for me, and I stayed on after my internship and was just doing events for him, and I was going out and doing a broadcast. But that's when, I had that, you know, that aha moment. My sisters, who I was living at their apartment, they were doing a lot of babysitting for, you know, family members who I didn't even know. And one of them was, worked at Vitamin Water in the marketing division. And she had made mention like, hey, if he's not interested in that stuff, like I did an endorsement deal for, David Ortiz, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. If he wanted to be interested, I know the agent, he can, you know, potentially have an interview there. So she set me up, and I was like, hey, I've done endorsements when I was a kid. Let's do it. Went to the interview at Radigan, where I am now, and a small family style atmosphere was cool. And you know, they gave me a trial basis where I got to go out there and try my hand at the marketing thing, and ended up getting the deal done. And ended up getting in front of David, and he took a liking to me. And from there, I've been there almost 7 years now, and made my way all the way up to the VP. And you know, I've learned a lot here, and hopefully here for the foreseeable future. But I've had, you know, the world at my fingertips as far as this agency. That's not a massive agency where they're going to make you be, you know, getting coffee and doing this and that. They really let me, you know, try my hand and, you know, cream rise to the top. And luckily it happened for me.
But before we get too deep into Redigan and David Ortiz, like, yeah, I'm surprised you skipped over it, but the Albany City Rocks, like, I feel like everybody's had an experience like that, like just a humbling, like minor league or whatever it was. Like, what was that like?
So that, yeah, they were one of the top 25 AAU teams in the country. They had guys like, Tobias Harris was the big guy that was there when I was there. So one of my close friends growing up across the street, hell of a point guard, played D1 at St. Francis. And he was kind of like the captain of this team, and they brought guys together, and Taylor Battle and Teron Bowie and a lot of guys from my neck of the woods who were kind of have, you know, they have quote unquote statues where we're from. And they said, hey, you know, the guy who was the head coach, I used to go to practices and just try to jump in the 3-man weave or whatever with them. And, you know, it's another body. So, I definitely had my time of getting dunked on by some of the premier players, but it was cool. They let me do the stats for them. And from there, I really took it upon myself. I had a computer in my room, so I would just put together like these personalized stat charts and like shot charts and what this guy's plus minus was, and a lot of stuff these guys didn't need, but they were 17 years old and 16 years old. They were like, whoa, look at all this information about us. So that was cool. And the head coach, Jim Hart, his son played for Cuse too. And he said, you know, if you go to Cuse, you know, we'll keep our eyes open for you and this and that. So that was definitely the first time that I saw, you know, the top level athletes, right? These guys weren't like the kids from my high school. These kids were, you know, running the crazy 40 times and these guys could jump out of the gym. So, you know, rubbing elbows with guys my age who clearly had a path ahead of them, and being their peer really didn't make them as, you know, all, you know, all that star power and excitement. It made that, made them very human and very normal. And I think a big part of my business and what we do now is not being so starstruck. It's about, you know, being next to these guys and talking to them like they're your equals, because they don't want anybody else telling them, hey, I saw your game when I was 9 years old. My dad was there. Like, they've heard that 100 times. They'd rather have a guy say, hey, have you been at this spot? And get your reservations or something like that. So that was definitely, and thank you for bringing it up too, man. I almost forgot about that. That was one of my earliest times in really in the sports field and actually doing something meaningful. So yeah,
that's what we're here for.
Definitely great.
And how
I'm impressed. The research department's all over it.
Oh, all over it. How tempted were you to kind of go into that world? Because that AAU world is almost a completely different sector of the sports business. Did that have any like allure to you at that age?
Totally, man. We saw the kid who they thought was, I think they were calling him like the next Greg Oden. This kid had braces. And I remember thinking, like, you know how long it's going to take to actually get these kids to where they're got to be? And obviously, you got to put time in regardless. There's no instant gratification. But at the same time, you want to, you know, have it work a little bit faster than worrying about some of these kids who are, like, you know, they got to go through high school still, and they're going to have a girlfriend. They're going to have somebody break their heart. They got to get into college. They're going to, you know, a lot of these kids have so much buried beneath it. It's not like a, you know, like a Madden player where it's just, he's out there and he's just doing his job. These guys are humans. And so another big part of the business is just realizing these guys are just like us and one pant leg at a time. So it was cool to meet some of the guys, but at the same time, it's like, you know, at these, this is a deep investment. Now, if I could have signed Greg Oden at that age, I would have took that first contract regardless of the bust or not. But, you know, it was something that, again, was important to know that's maybe not the best route for you, but try your hand at it. No, keep it moving.
For sure. And I want to jump back to what we were talking about, like with that first deal. You know, Jake and I have had experience, and you could grind and grind and grind to get marketing dollars. Like, what was that first deal that you scored for him? And on top of that, like what was the feeling when he finally closed it?
It's funny. And shout out Power Hands. They were trying to carve their way into the batting, like the donut on the bat space. They were saying, hey, if you're swinging a bat and you got a donut at the end of it, how are you going to be able to, that makes the bat feel heavier at that end. So they like chopped up iron into very fine pieces and put it in the batting glove. So your hands were literally heavy. So again, me in 2013 doing this, I didn't care if it worked or not. I wanted to be able to say, hey, I'm bringing this, because they had put me with a guy who's now one of my best friends. He works for Major League Baseball. They said, one of you guys is going to end up getting the role. So every day we sat across from each other. It was friendly. We'd have lunch together, but I'm also trying to get a deal done. So I worked it for a while. There were a young couple who just had their first kid, and they put all their money into this product. So I was dead set on trying to bring it to David. I hadn't even met David at that point. So I was doing everything I could to make sure it happened. I even had to take photos of one of we had an intern group, and another kid from Syracuse was there, and I had him like swinging a bat, and I was taking videos and trying to send it to him. So the problem back then was it wasn't streamlined, right? So it's like, I got to send it to somebody in the company who's going to send it to the boss, who then's going to send it to David Ortiz. And I'm not going to even know if that text ever went. Did he actually tell him about it? So it was a lot of a waiting game, and you know, you got to stay persistent. You got to be hungry. But you know, finally getting the pictures back of him. And I remember it might've been Yankee Stadium, to be honest with you, that he took the pictures in the dugout holding the gloves, and we had to blur out the logo cause they weren't a league partner and all that. And that really jumped me into this world, because you have to check all the boxes, right? Like, you can't have team logos. You got to make sure that there's no, like, you can't tell they're in Yankee Stadium. And it was kind of like trial by fire. So that was, you know, I'll never forget it too. I ended up meeting the family months later, and you know, we've done a lot of work with them since. He no longer has the deal. I think it was a little bit too rich for their blood, and that's how a lot of it is with Ortiz. But it was is definitely an eye-opener. It was definitely pennies for David. I doubt he even remembers he did it, but it will forever be impactful for me. And I got a pair of those gloves still with me in my apartment in New York City.
That's awesome. And so take us through, you were at Radigan, but JR Sports Enterprises, was that something that you were doing on the side, or what? How did that factor in?
Yeah, funny too, because I don't think anybody had ever signed a player to Radigan prior to me and JR working together to get Deion Lewis over. Deion Lewis was played at Albany Academy, which was 15 minutes from where I grew up. He was another hometown hero. Went to Pitt, then obviously had a great thing going on in New England, and playing with Brady, everybody's marketability skyrockets. So, you know, that's a right place, right time thing for Deion. He's a super down-to-earth guy, does a lot of stuff with the Best Buddies community in Albany, and I knew his mother too. So like the dots kind of connected. He remembered me from years before, and I told JR, hey, I'm doing X, Y, and Z for Ortiz in Boston. Let me try to say, if they say no because David's too expensive, I'll kick it one tier down below to Deion, who's going to make 70%, 80% of what David makes, because David was one of the most marketable players in history. And we were able to do a lot for him. So at one point I said, hey, let's make this formal, and obviously you need the paperwork. So JR was more than happy. He knew me for 7, 8, 9 years at that point. And I was able to bring, I'll never forget, I brought a contract to the Radigan Christmas party, and we all had a few, and I whipped it out to my boss. Was like, see, like I got somebody for us now. So I think that was the first time an employee not named Alex Radetzky, who's our president founder, who actually brought somebody in. And to this day, I work with JR pretty closely. He's got a lot of guys who come to the draft, and there's a lot of deals that can be done really quickly, whether it's trading cards or, you know, small stuff that the contract agents can't be bothered with doing. Like, it's just not their forte. They're on the road 200 days a year. They're recruiting guys, and they got to pay for their training and do this and that. And they don't even want to need the marketing money. I'd be honest with you. They'd rather just tell their guy, hey, I brought in a 24/7 marketing company who's doing all this stuff for you. I did that. And that keeps their guy happy, and that keeps them on their contract until they make that $100 million deal. So for them, it's an investment, and they keep us on. And JR has been a friend, and he even made the joke a couple years ago. He's like, I had to name drop you to try to get a guy, because I said I'd have David Ortiz's guy. So we've come full circle, and having that David name allure has been pretty important for us.
So was JR like the coolest principal ever? And did you ever did you ever get detention like from him? And now like.
There was a newspaper articles written about him where they were going at him. This one columnist back home would always rip him, and he would get such a bad rap. Somebody wrote a book back home about him. And he used to get a lot of heat from the parents, but the kids loved him. I mean, like, his office was a borderline man cave, and he'd come to the dances, school dances back when that was the thing. And he'd have the breathalyzer, making sure everybody was doing, keeping on the up and up. But he was about as cool as a gate, and he wore like this big fancy Rolex. I went to a Giants game once. He repped Derek Ward, who was running back way back when. And after the game, brought us in the back so I could meet these guys. And he made these guys humans and normal, so that, you know, when you finally meet them and you want to recruit them, it's not like a cat got your tongue thing. It's more of a, you know, hey man, I've done this with X, Y, and Z. So yeah, I got a lot of love for JR, and without him, none of this is possible.
That's awesome. When you started working with David, like, how closely did you guys end up working with each other once you started bringing in those deals?
Oh man, it's funny too. When I first, David did a commencement speech, and again, we don't have, you know, there's at most we ever had at any given time, Radigan's like 8 or 9. So everybody's always going somewhere, and he did a commencement speech, and one of our guys wrote this long speech for him, and I was the one who went, and it was, you know, thesaurus through and through. I don't know who wrote it, but it was tough for me to read. And David, whose English is his second language, who's phenomenal in front of the camera when he doesn't have a script, but with a script, that's just not who he is. And I remember in the back room, he's got the big robe on because he was doing the commencement address, and he kept calling me Petey. Now, to this day, don't know why, but he's like, Pete, come please. Like, what is, and I'm like, who wrote this? And then at one point I was like, all right, scratch all this. And I'll never forget it. We were sitting in the back room against like a cinder block wall, and we rewrote the whole thing with just like bullet points. Like, number one, talk about adversity. Two, talk about a teammate who did something for you. 3, like talk about a kid who, you know, your kids in school and how important education is for you and what your parents instilled. And I was like, boom, there's probably like 15 words on the page. And then he went up there and ripped it, standing ovation, the whole thing. And it was a small school. I think it was New Jersey Institute of Technology or something. And afterward came down and he gave me the whole thing of like, yo, they saved me and this and that. So from then on out, he'd be like, hey, can you guys send Petey? Can somebody send Pete for this? And then I remember, I think my parents were at one of them because my sister lived in Boston and I think my parents were at one. They're like, is he St. Pete? And I was like, listen, I'll take anything at this point. You can call me whatever, you know, the hell you wanted. So, from there it slowly turned into Mikey and I've been Mikey ever since with him. But, you know, just treating these guys, and I got to say, like, David's one of the most down to earth men I've ever been around. And you would never know that he is without the fashion and the jewelry. You would never know that he is, you know, one of the best players in MLB history and this and that, and to be Hall of Famer. He's one of the most genuine dudes ever, always treat me with respect and never asked me to do something he wouldn't do for himself. So grateful for him. And yeah, so, you know, now I'll get the casual, you know, FaceTime and he just wants to BS because he knows, again, we're not going to be down his throat about X, Y, and Z. And did you see the game? It's more of just like, what's going on with the fam and what can I do? And, you know, he'll ask us to do small tasks for him that have nothing to do with our job, but that's just what the agency gig is. You know, you want to push through your deals and you want to make the commission money and help out the company. But at the same time, when he needs you to get him a plane, you got to get him a plane. Or if he needs food, you got to go get the guy food. So I'm grateful, and no disrespect to the CPAs out there listening, but I'm grateful that I'm not sitting in front of a computer doing taxes or stuff like that. Regardless of the money, if it's great, like this allows you every day to have a different day. And, you know, one day you could be doing something completely different as the next. And that's what I'm grateful for and kind of love where I am.
That's an unreal story. That's awesome. And that blows my mind that Radigan's only 8-9 people. Cause I don't know, since I started working in sports, I've known Radigan. Like for me, it's been, you know, CAA, Octagon, yep. Radigan, like,
yep.
But I now looking at it, I guess CAA is hundreds of people. And
well, the difference is too, they'll get the contracts. So the way our business model works, and it's no secret, like I was mentioned, like a lot of these companies don't want to handle the marketing stuff. So we'll go to the agents who have seemingly, you know, a huge name player who may not have the huge backing of the Wasserman CAAs, Octagons of the world, Rock Nations. And we'll say, hey, listen, we'll do all that for you. We don't have a contract guy on staff, and that's by design. Like we don't want to have any threat of, hey, when the contract comes for your guy and he's going to make that 9-year, $100 million deal, we literally can't steal it from you. We're here to help you. We're here as an asset, as an arm for you. So there's only few companies that solely do marketing work. And that's kind of where Alex, you know, our president found his little niche and, you know, he's made his noise and, you know, it's like I said, all by design and shout out to Alex too, who's done a lot of this on his own. He used to work out of his apartment with, two or three guys way back, probably 2009 or 2010 and built this into, a company that, you know, he was a 40 under 40 winner for Sports Business Journal. So like he's done a lot of impressive stuff in his day and I'm grateful to be behind him. But again, creating something where it's like, hey, listen, we're not going to go for 100% of the pie. We're just going to live in our area and try to maximize as much as we can.
For sure. That's really interesting. Can you take me through like the evolution? You've been getting brand deals since high school, which is awesome. But like take me through the evolution of the brand deal back in like 2010, I guess, or even, you know, 2014 when you started there and then to where it is now.
Yeah. It's, and I was having this conversation with somebody recently. I was saying like, how did some of these guys do it in the 2000 to 2010s where for me as a kid, the only thing I ever saw that wasn't on TV is in East Bay. Like that was the king. Remember like the East Bay catalog when you know, I get it right before Christmas and circle stuff and ask for it. Like whoever the guy was swinging the bat for Nike with the new cleat, like he was their guy. Like they had other guys on field wearing it, but you weren't seeing it. Now, I mean, not to beat social media to death, but like they got 15, 20 guys who are going to do a post a month and it allows them to reach out so far and wide. And a lot of the guys, like I know guys at Nike who are under contract, who you think are making millions of dollars, but Nike's going to be Nike without them. And they say to them, hey, you want to be a part of the Nike team? That's going to grow your brand by itself. We'll give you the free product, but we're not necessarily going to pay you versus the Reeboks and the Adidas of the world who are saying, all right, we got to pay just to keep some of our guys on, you know, keep wearing it. So I think the evolution of social media can never be understated. It's only going to get bigger. But just being able to, like, during quarantine, man, like, some of the stuff, and again, just shouting out random companies who I've worked with, but like Open Doors does a great job. They've, they have a platform where you just insert your guys in, and, you know, they'll just, they'll ping you with a deal. So, and all of a sudden I can just go to my guy who was an Olympic gymnast, who's been retired for 8 years, and say, hey, they're doing a gymnast thing. Like, do you want to get involved? Bang. He posts it through the platform. It goes up, all the analytics are logged in, and he makes his $10,000 and everybody's happy. So I don't know how some of these guys did it back then, the David Falks of the world. Obviously, I think it was a very 1% of a 1% got deals, versus now you're looking at 5% of the league is actually making meaningful money when it comes to endorsements. But yeah, man, the print to television to commercial, like, those are the 7-8-figure deals you look at now. And those were seemingly the only thing that existed back then. So just having the opportunity to post an Instagram story and get paid for it. It's, again, I help David with his social media a lot too. And there's been times where he asks, hey, can you just take care of it? And we've posted for him and then just send him the check. And he looks back after and he's like, yo, those shoes are actually kind of cool. Can I get a pair? So, you know, having a social media presence and being able just to have 1.2, 3.5 million people looking at a single post, it's so easy to sell it to brands. Cause it's not saying, hey, your ROI, I promise you're going to get what you invested. It's like, literally look at these numbers, and this is the interaction, the impression, and the engagements. So again, social media, anybody can say it, but it is one of our biggest tools, and I'm telling you, we leverage it every second we can.
Awesome. How invested, like, I guess one is Radigan in looking at like esports athletes and marketing esports athletes. And then two, you personally, how do you think that's going to work like in the next 5-10 years?
Yeah. And again, it's a conversation we've had a lot internally. We brought in a new guy who used to be at CAA too, to kind of work on some of these special projects and to be recruiting guys who aren't in those core sports. The thing about like MLB and NFL and stuff, it's like, you got to go through the union and you got to go through the league to get a lot of stuff approved. You look at, and I always compare esports to the World Series of Poker's guys. Like, you remember watching those as a kid, everybody saw it during the $1 million, and these guys had brands like coming off their hat. They were like taped on because they made a random, you know, run for the final table, and nobody knew who they were. And also they got logos here and here and here because they can do that in the NFL and these other sports. Like, you got to okay that, and you can only have one. And if you got the wrong cleats, you got to tape them up. So I think that space is just going to allow for those guys who are at the very top. And, you know, that guy Ninja, who everybody talks about, like, he's made some ridiculous money, more than a lot of these athletes have. So I think it's going to allow for guys who are really elite and who really perform to monetize, rightfully so. I have seen that a lot of colleges now even have that as a major. And, you know, I have a nephew, and my sister is telling me, hey, he's asking for a station or, you know, a gaming console. I'm like, hey, it's a joke, but at the same time, like, it could pay his college tuition the same way lacrosse did, good, or the same way baseball gloves. Yeah. So get him involved, see if he likes the stuff. And again, some of these kids just naturally have it. So we've been looking into it. We've been partnering, with a few different agencies who handle esports, companies, just because we have the relationships. We'll let them run it, and then, hey, you identify 4, 5, or 6 brands that you think are important. We probably have those connections. We can gladly bring everybody to the table and hopefully ends meet. But that is an evolving space that I think is even going to slightly go underneath me in terms of age. I'm only 28 years old, but you know, I think that is the teens to young 20s are really going to be involved in there, even more so than I am. So I've definitely been trying to keep my pulse on it, but I think more so the thing that has kind of came to us has been this whole name and likeness thing in college. And that's something that I think that we'll be able to make a lot of noise with in the near future.
Sure. I mean, you just read my mind. Like, just wanted to, for like, what are you guys doing to dabble in that space? That's kind of the Wild West these days. You know, it's coming, but nobody knows exactly what's the company's plan to capitalize.
Yeah, we've actually had somebody internally who is constantly churning out updates on all the legislation that's being passed. I know Florida did something recently, and they're always sending updates of saying, hey, here's the update on here, this state versus this one. First and foremost, I'm glad that it's happening. I remember I was back in Syracuse, like, some of those parties you go to and the athletes would, you know, be there and a lot of the fraternities, like they always kind of coincided. We knew those guys really well and they would always be, you know, yeah, exactly. And some of the, like Greg Paulus was my freshman quarterback at Syracuse. Like he was, came from Duke, played point guard, was the stud, came to Cuse as a grad transfer and played quarterback. And they would sell these number two shirts because Dungy wore two, but it was kind of the S and it was inverted a little bit. So, and again, I'm like, there's no more clear sign of the guy being, I don't want to say used, because they're giving him a platform, a showcase, essentially, for his career. But you got to break him off for this. And we always told these guys, hey, when you make the league, you know, let me get your number. And we'll, you know, and that's never going to happen. If I could have told the guy, and David knows, Shine Student Center, if I could have said, hey, listen, you come there for 90 minutes today, I'll give you $10,000 cash. They would have did that. They were friend. We were friendly enough with them. We were their equals. We were their classmates. We were buddies. So we've been keeping a close eye on what's going on, especially in a lot of our alma maters. And Alex Shea, a guy who works next with me, he's also a Syracuse kid, and he's pretty persistent on trying to make something happen for Syracuse guys. So I think there is going to be so much. It's not impactful money, but you tell a college kid you're going to make $5,000. They want the money. 100%, but they'd be the bigger man on campus sitting down and doing a signing. That would be like, I mean, again, you go, it's no different than them playing. They're, you know, everybody's in line and they get to be the kingpin. So yeah. I think it's only a matter of time before money starts trickling in and we're keeping a close eye on it. And actually a kid who plays at Syracuse, go unnamed, but he also played on City Rocks team. So we've been trying to check in there and get in front of these guys earlier than later. And especially as not being a contracted agent who's certified by the league, we can't really get these guys in trouble. We're not promising anything. We're not saying, hey, we'll do it tomorrow. It's more so, hey, just if and when you guys get to the top, we could potentially have a conversation. And, you know, so again, I think that's more so where I would lean personally in what's next. But again, I'm sure there's somebody who's in the esports realm who could rattle off 50 facts and make me look pretty bad on this, but that's just my intuition on that.
That was David and I when we were interns. We made a lot of calls to esports coaches because they would get excited about the Vayner Sports name.
And we would
just have them run us through like we'd be like, all right, talk to us about esports like we're 5 years old. I'm like, yeah, okay, now talk to us like we're four.
Yeah. I mean, we've had guys call the office saying my kid's legit. He's 13. He's no joke. Like, can we have a discussion? And I'm like, I don't even know what to tell you, man. Like, I got all-stars in certain leagues that I can't necessarily get a deal right now. I can't help your 13-year-old kid. And I'm sure he is the truth, like you say, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Said it before. It's like the same thing where getting your son a baseball bat is the same thing as getting him a controller almost. And on top of that, like, it's like, oh, like, you got the little Johnny's going to be the next quarterback of Texas.
Right.
Like, oh, wait, yeah. No, like, little Johnny's actually going to be like the esports star. Like, can you help him? Like, it's the same parent saying the same call. But the weirder part is that those kids can like skip college because like they're 13 and their body doesn't need to mature. Like, I don't know, like any college basketball, football player like needs to.
That's what's crazy is that 13, that kid is the equivalent of like a 23, 24 year old in the minors, like about to make his debut. Mm-hmm. Like he should be, like the parents should be thinking like that. Cause that kid's
crazy.
The thumbs start to go. The thumbs start to go at like 2021. That was a fact that blew my mind, was like talking to a 24-year-old and he's like, yeah, man, like to be
the wear and tear.
These guys have insurance. The wild thing is like these guys, we're going on a tangent, but these guys have like insurance on their fingers.
As they should.
No way. Is that true?
Yeah, like if you like a finger or some shit, like it's like I like you're getting like a lot of money. Especially I'm talking legs. Top guys, right? Like I can't get insurance on my fingers, but like
yeah, I'm not very good.
Nah.
No.
That's interesting though. Yeah, I think there's weird, we always talk about it. It's been a reoccurring theme on our podcast is like the name, image, likeness stuff, just like the opportunity that is present there. And we're excited to see kind of how it's going to unfold. But I mean, just for like one ruling, I mean, this is about you, but just like they said, like the schools aren't going to be involved. It's all going to be third party, which leaves the door wide open.
Yeah. I mean, it opens our potential clientele by 20,000%. Like, and I always said too, one thing we live by, and I always preach is like consumers, not stupid, right? Like if I got a guy pushing a product that makes no sense on his body, it's going to be very obvious. And I think the kid starting a brand message at 18 for Sony, and then when he's in the league, it's not like you're going to him cold and saying like, hey, would you like to try? Like, you know, this kid likes it. He's been playing the PlayStation while he was in college, and then all of a sudden he's out, and now he's in the MLB, and MLB the show is like, hey, who should we use as our guy? How about the kid who's told you for the last decade he's been a fan of it, instead of having to pay some guy to say, like, what's the line and what happens in the game? Because, like, it's so obvious. You see those commercials where you're like, roll your eyes, and a lot of these Instagram ads, and we're at the shoots where we're like, all right, we got to do that again, because that just doesn't look believable. Like, let these kids decide when they're younger, especially, like, the kids who wear Nike. I know Breanna Stewart, you know, when she got into the league, she got a big Nike deal. It's like, yeah, she was at UConn and she was had the check on her for 4 years and she won 4 titles, I think. So let them show their allegiance early on and let them practice it, so that when they get to league, I got guys that we work with who I know aren't that great in front of the camera, and you got to help them out. But if they were able to do this when they're, instead of taking a course in, I won't say finance because that's a whole nother thing, but like a cooking course that's never going to necessarily fall into their lap or their day to day, let them do something like this and let's get their feet wet, and it would help us personally. Maybe that's just selfish.
No, absolutely. And I think that's a cool crossover where kind of like our world meet of like, we talked with Kenny Bell, a Nebraska wide receiver, and you know, dude's a legend in Lincoln. Like, he could walk down the street, he would get stopped like 10 times walking down O Street. But he talked about the double-edged sword of, if he could have made money in college, yes, like, and as like he should have, he probably would have made, you know, 6 figures easy, like his last 2 years in school. But he said that he necessarily wouldn't, there would have to be a little bit of guidance for him to know which one to take. And that's something where, like, if he understands his brand, one, and then if he has somebody like you at Radigan telling, like, give it a little bit of guidance to, like, okay, this is going to, like, this is what this looks like in 5 years. And I know the NCAA wouldn't allow something like this, but, like, he was a bartender at, like, a famous bar in Lincoln. If they did, a five-figure deal, maybe he looks back on that and he's trying to do, like, a wholesome family brand thing, like, in a couple of years, and that makes it a little bit tougher.
Yeah. No, you guys hit that on the head too, because, you know, you fall into one of the, like, the gambling or alcohol or tobacco spaces. Yeah, there's some companies you can't come back from that. So, yeah, absolutely. And it would all fall on the parents. And we've been involved with some parents who are very hands-on, and as they should be. I can't speak, you know, like, I've never been in their shoes. But, yeah, they would have – you would think a lot of it would come through the household, right? Like, the parents, the families, because who are they to trust somebody like us? But that's why I was always – thinking if these kids in college or the sports management programs like Cuse, I heard there's an analytics, I don't know if it's a major or if it's a class, but like major. That blows my mind. I think I was like the third sport management class there, and I think it's tripled or quadrupled in sizes of classes. But if they were teaching these kids,
way harder to get into. I don't think I would get in right now.
Yeah, hey, timing's everything, David. I'm telling you, man.
They were telling me the average GPA is actually 3.9. I was like, that was a little below that.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have been there. But if they taught us that, then I think, and we were so interested in a lot, like some of those courses, and Rick Burton is one of the teachers or professors who was huge and instrumental in my career. Like, if that guy was telling us, or if we had somebody who was, you know, huge in the marketing space explaining these things, I think that, you know, a lot of we have interns who we probably bring 4 in a semester, and they do like impactful work. And these kids are like brilliant. And I'm not big on Photoshop or any of the design stuff, and these kids are like really sharp. So again, there's nothing that they can't do, and people slightly younger would probably retain that knowledge and be able to guide these guys. But that's an absolutely fair point, man. If they were to do something like that, you could absolutely be kind of blacklisting yourself from a lot of these big deals with the wholesome family companies who may not take too kindly on that.
Exactly. And it all depends on the kid too. You know, like Gronk absolutely should have been doing Bud Light Seltzer when he was in Arizona. And I'm sure I'm sure there's somebody at Bud Light who just like fantasizes about like this changing back when he was there because of the content that they could have made. But
there's no better fit.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
We figured out the best way to wrap these podcasts up was with the lightning round. Actually called Michelle Miller question round, because Jake's mom has the sponsorship rights currently.
Nice. I can help her negotiate that.
Not paying right now.
Presented by.
Exactly.
You want to kick it off, Jake?
I got it. Person you'd most want to sit down to dinner with?
Will Smith. No question. Nice. Huge Will Smith guy.
Favorite city.
I'd be starstruck by Will Smith. Sorry.
Good. Favorite city in the world.
New York City, man. It doesn't get better than that.
Is it okay to sleep with socks on?
No, absolutely not. I'm actually very big on that. So no, hard no there.
Best slice in the city.
Ooh, artichoke pizza probably. And also don't discount the dollar slice places, like fake pizza, but dollar, you can't beat it.
Best spot to eat in Q's.
I'm a big Varsity's guy. The wings there, phenomenal. Big staple down there.
Favorite rom-com?
The Breakup, Vince Vaughn. Big Vince Vaughn fan. I'll take that. I guess that qualifies, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a great one.
It's a quotable movie, so.
Fill in the blank here. Big Poppy's one flaw is?
Oh, man, he can't say no to people for autographs. Like, he slows the line down. He always like, you'd be the bad guy. I'm like, I'm a third your size. But he's got a sign for everybody, anybody at all times, and it always takes us an hour to leave the place.
In 40 years, what will people be nostalgic for?
I'll tell you what they're not going to be. They won't be nostalgic for 2020, I'll tell you that much. But I bet you they'll be nostalgic for whatever seasons are vacated, college football, what it is, and they'll probably say that their team would have won the national title or something.
UCF Definitely. Every year.
No, it's Nebraska's year.
Yeah, it's you, Scott Frost, big fan.
Yep. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No. I mean, but I'm sure there's some sort of definition or somebody's like, well, technically, I don't think I would say no. Hard no there.
Go-to quarantine snack.
Snack versus meal. All right. I don't even know if you guys know what Fryhoffers is. It's like a local cookie spot, but they make these chocolate chip cookies that are ridiculous, and it's buy one get one at the local grocery store in this hillsy town I've been quarantining in. So yeah, I grab that every time.
When will Syracuse win a football national championship?
Listen, I love what Dino Babers does, but I got a feeling if he does it again, he won't be there much longer. So somebody will poach him. I don't know, man. Maybe I'll give us the over under 20-45.
That's solid.
I would take that in a heartbeat if I knew by then, but it's probably not going to happen.
Top three athlete brands you don't work with.
Top three athlete brands I wish I would.
Yeah, or like that you don't work with personally, but that like you admire.
Oh, I mean, I'm a Nike head through and through, man. They can't miss. Rick Burton made us read the Nike, the Phil Knight book during college. It was huge. It was instrumental. Big Nike guy. I'm a big supporter of the Stance Sox. That they got the MLB deal. I worked with them before they got the MLB deal, and they were pleading poverty that they couldn't pay anybody. And then all of a sudden they got that deal. So they got some smart guys over there. I don't know them, but to get that MLB deal, it's impressive. I work with them now. Whatever the is it Evo Shield that does the ballistic arm, mm-hmm. like the elbow protector. They got a good product, and I know a lot of athletes who are huge athletes on the field. They use them, and they do it just for free product. So clearly, the athlete likes it, and that's all I need to know.
That's awesome. Last one. In 2030, you can catch Michael Lisi blank.
Hopefully, parading the David Ortiz Hall of Fame and maybe doing a book deal or something. We're hopeful in 2 years he'll be in, but by 2030. Hopefully I'll be out of the city by then and living a more humble life, a more wholesome and older life. But, you know, that's the beauty of the sports industry. You just never know where you're going to end up, and you never know what next year's got. So, I'm excited to see myself in 2030. Appreciate, you throwing that out.
Absolutely.
We're excited too. Where can our, followers find you?
I guess my Instagram isn't too business related. I would try to catch me on LinkedIn too. Any sports inquiries at all, anybody's looking to do some brand deals, or anybody who's got a younger brother who's the next phenom of the esports world, you can shoot me a note. But yeah, Michael Lisi on Instagram, LECCE. Let me know. We're always willing to take a meeting. Never met a meeting we didn't like.
There we go. Michael Lisi, appreciate you coming on, man.
Likewise, guys. I'm a big fan. Keep doing your thing.